Our gospel lesson for this Epiphany Sunday comes from the Gospel of Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 12. Now, these are probably very familiar words to you and a familiar story, but try to listen for something new that is coming through these ancient words, being spoken through these ancient words to you this day, at this particular point on your journey of faith. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem asking, "Where is the child who has been born king of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. And on entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right, I'm going to try it again. Happy New Year. Very good. We made it. We made it to a new year. And I used to say that rather casually. But not this year. No way. This year, the salutation is of a different quality. It was 1 year ago this coming Friday. It was a Thursday night last year. And I had my incident, as we'll call it. And I want to thank you for taking such good care of me at the beginning of last year. And I want to thank you for taking such good care of this community in my absence those following weeks. So thank you. It was a crazy time. What a year. But now it's on to 24. So Happy New Year. All right. Okay. This past Friday marked the 12th and final day of Christmas. The drummers have drummed. Is that right? Drummed? Is that the past tense? Is it, Krista? Okay, good. The drummers have drummed. And that means that yesterday, that was Friday, so that means yesterday was Epiphany. The 6th of January is Epiphany. This year, Epiphany, it will be a six Sunday season. Now, Epiphany changes in length because it's based on Easter. Easter runs everything, all right? So Easter's a lunar holiday, so you kind of back into the other holidays. So Epiphany, we got 6 weeks. Easter, I think, is the last day of March this year, so it seems to be a little bit early. But anyway, don't worry about that yet. So anyway, we are here to celebrate Epiphany. And what makes me sad a little bit is that Christmas is over. Advent, Christmas is over. Even though I like Epiphany, something a little bit sad about this. You see, there's something mystical, something magical about Advent and Christmas. I don't know exactly what it is, but it's just incredibly special. You know what I'm talking about? That feeling? Some of you? No? Jason? No? All right. Well, anyway, you hit Thanksgiving weekend, and typically all of a sudden everybody goes, "Something in the air. Something in the air." Or, "I've got the Christmas spirit." It's just something great. Oh, let me ask you this. Did you go to old downtown Cary at all over Christmas? I hope you did. If you didn't, well, it's too late now. So, but maybe next year you'll be able to do it. The place was just decked out. I think there was an article in the NNO, News and Observer, newspaper. Okay. An article, I think it was entitled something along the line, "There's a New Christmas Town in North Carolina." And it was all about Cary. And if you went there, the whole place was just decked out. From Ashworth Drugstore there at the corner of, I guess that's Chatham, and all the way up Academy. Lights and stars, all sorts of things. At the end of the street up by the park, have you seen the new park in Cary? Go. You got to go out, get out, folks. Anyway, and then up and down Chatham Street, there were these giant ornaments piled up, and there were, you know, tons of decorations everywhere, lights and all the lampposts. It's incredible. But anyway, if you missed it, I'm sorry you did. So we spent a lot of time in Cary. Our daughter Molly works in Cary. And fortunately, she was scheduled for every day of the week following Christmas. Because she got to open at, 7 a.m. every morning. It was great. And so, anyway, we drove her. It was the 26th of December, which is the day after Christmas. And we arrived in Cary around 7:15 a.m. And it was beautiful. And we were turning on to from Chapel Hill Boulevard onto Academy, and you could see the lamppost. They had these light fixtures that looked like Advent wreaths and candles. It was just beautiful because the sun was just coming up. So we move in that way. Then all of a sudden I noticed some of the displays were not lit. Some of them were lit. Some of them, they were just waiting to be picked up, like discarded or something. Didn't think much about it. And then I dropped Molly off at her work and turned back on Academy to come back. And I noticed there were two people standing out there disassembling a Christmas tree. And I thought to myself, what is going on here? They're de-decorating. And this kind of feeling of sadness began to sweep over me. And then it hit me what was going on. It's over. It's over. Christmas is over. Of course, it was just day two of Christmas at that point, but it didn't seem to matter. It was over. It was over. And the irresistible march to ordinary time had begun. Now, in the church's calendar, uppercase C, calendar time outside of Advent and Christmas and Lent and Easter is called ordinary time. Ordinary time, right? And although ordinary time didn't return officially until yesterday, I knew its arrival was inevitable that morning in Cary. And therein lies the perennial Epiphany challenge. Sure, every January we go through this. As you know, before we, because we talk about this every single year, the word Epiphany derives from the word Epiphania, manifestation or appearance. As in the manifestation or appearance of God's Christ, God's anointed one, God's Messiah in the world. An appearance that changed everything. It changed us. It changed direction for us. In fact, that's what we're doing here today. We're trying to figure that out. That's what we're here on this Epiphany Sunday, trying to figure out what that means. But really, that's what we're doing every week when we gather. We're trying to figure out what this God thing is, what this Christ thing is, what this life thing is all about. And we do it because in first century Palestine, a group of people found meaning and direction for their lives as they encountered an itinerant preacher from Galilee called Jesus. And in that incredible life, they had an epiphany. They found a way to enter into the very heart of God. Okay. Friends, Epiphany is what it's all about. It's all about. It's an attempt to understand Epiphany that drives us or should drive us. You see, we just finished Advent and Christmas, and the key word of those seasons is Emmanuel, right? God is with us. That's what we're kind of thinking about. Yesterday, we moved from Emmanuel to Epiphany, and in Advent and Christmas, we wrestle with what it means for the presence of God to break into our lives. In Epiphany, we wrestle with how that presence might be made tangible through our lives. How we wrestle with how that presence might change the direction of our living. And that's key. All right. The Magi started, okay? That's blame them. It's their fault, right? They said, we saw the sign, and we knew we had to be here somewhere, right? Where's that little rascal? That sort of thing. So what are we going to do about that? What are we going to do about it? We've already de-decorated the place. We got a star hanging up still for Epiphany. But besides that, there is no sign. Where is the sign? What are we going to do now? Friends, we are the sign. Or we're not the sign. As we move on along, nothing to see here, folks. This is just ordinary time. Ordinary time. Okay, having said that, allow me to refresh your memory. Allow me to remind you of what we consider to be the defining characteristic of our community. We exist to be the body of Christ. We exist to be the body of Christ in the world. That's our mission statement. And we think we're going to do that. We hope to do that by reaching out to this world with radical hospitality. Radical hospitality. Not just hospitality, radical hospitality. We want to engage people in ministry. Get them involved in the community. All right? And then as they do that, we'll seek for them to grow in the depth of their spirit. And then it starts over. Then they go out and they welcome other folks with radical hospitality. Well, whenever I think about that mission and vision that we have, I can't help but think about Paul's words to the church in Philippi. These words. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. We're the body of Christ. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Makes sense. Now, of course, this time of year, we're all thinking about changing things up a bit, right? You know, resolutions, right? I used to make my resolutions public, right? I would stand here before you the first Sunday of the year and I would list them. This is what I resolved to do. But then Bob Starks wrote them down. Bob, it's your fault. Okay, so Bob started writing them down and he was holding me accountable. Be like July or something. Jay, how about that resolution? I'm like, what are you talking about, Bob? You know, the one about no profanity. Oh, no. Anyway, Bob would remind me. And then he also reminded me how long my sermon had happened to be that day. But thanks to Bob, I'm no longer doing that. I'm not making them public, okay? Sorry about that. Anyway, a new year generates thoughts of change, right? We resolve to do something differently. And at the heart of such ponderings lies the hope of self-betterment, if you will. Some sort of ontological transformation. A transformation of being, of essence. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. But we all know that such annual aspirations can be a bit intimidating, right? They can be a bit overwhelming. They can be a bit fleeting. There are a lot of people starting to join the gym this week. Crazy time. I just got to wait them out. Got to wait them out. Give them a couple weeks. Everything will be okay. Well, I'm here today to encourage you not to be overwhelmed, not to feel inadequate, not to be discouraged. You see, it's important to note that in his letter to the church in Philippi, Paul employs the second person plural. You know, it's one of the irregularities of the English language that second person plural and second person singular are the same. You, right? But in this letter, it's plural. Let the same mind be in you. The community that was in Christ Jesus. And not only is the statement made in a certain way, you can't tell it from the text, from the translation very well, but it's an imperative. It's not saying, well, you could try to be, or you should try, you might be, you could be. No, you will be. You will have the mind in Christ, the mind in you that was in Christ. Huh. What are we going to do with that? What are we going to do with that? That's who we are. Well, the Magi showed up, right, in Jerusalem. They're looking for the baby Jesus. The question is, you know, the question was perfect. Where is he? Where is he? It was a pressing question. It's always a pressing question. Where is he? It's a perfect epiphany question for the church, right? This is supposed to be the place where he is, right? So where is he? We exist to be the body of Christ in the world. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Okay, hear this again. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother. They knelt down and paid him homage. Then opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. So far, so good. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. And that's it. Once again, that's the metaphor for us. As it is every single year, the guiding metaphor for our lives. They left for their own country, their own way, by another way. Huh. You see, every single year, the goal is the same. We start over in January, and we seek a newness of life. You know, by taking a new road. That's what we say. I'm going to do this. I'm going to resolve to do this. I'm going to go this way. You know, we need newness of life. That's what we think. Now, I know what you're thinking. It's not that easy. Believe me, I've done that too many times. Take the old road. It's familiar. It's relatively safe. I know the way. But the problem is, it doesn't get me somewhere new. And that's, again, what we're seeking, right? Somewhere new. That's what the world needs, right? Somewhere new. Somewhere more hopeful, more grace-filled, more Christ-like. So how about this? How about this year, 2024, we take our lead from the Magi, okay? How about another road? A road that might take us through new country, offers new vistas to enjoy, offers a new depth of life to explore. Wouldn't that be something? You know, it seems to me that a new year is a hard stop of sorts, right? It's not just a comma. It's a full stop. And the question we face at this full stop is, where do I go from here? What direction? Where do we go from here? So the Epiphany challenge is very simple. It's to manifest Christ. It's to manifest goodness and mercy and grace in and through our lives together in this place. It's to make him known. So the Epiphany challenge is to be the body of Christ, so let's go. Let's go. We've got lots to do this year. You can see we've already started. You know, as I thought about it, the opposite of ordinary time, what would that be? Extraordinary time. Extraordinary time. Maybe that's just the name for another road. Extraordinary time. All right. Happy New Year. Happy Epiphany. Thanks be to God. Amen.